If you'd open to Luke chapter 5, we'll get into the Word of God today. Luke 5, this is one of my favorite stories. This is epic. It's hardly epicer. I know it's not a real word. Let's pray before we get into the Bible this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. We're hungry for your word. We're hungry to hear from the Spirit of God. We want you to talk to us. We want you to tell us the things we need to know. We don't want to, look, I mean, there's a thousand things, Father, that people could have been doing anything, but they're here with open Bible on their lap. And I just pray that you would give us this day our daily bread, that you would take this opportunity to speak into our hearts. We ask it to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse, chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. I know it's not a big chunk, but there's a lot there. You know, I don't know, like some of these will, like these little vignettes will double up on them as we go along here. I know it's kind of, we're going slow at the beginning, but like I say, there's stuff here, and it's just like, there's just a lot, okay? Verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. A remarkable little story. Came to pass, the people pressed on him. Now, people pressing on him, it's hard to teach. It's hard to be heard. People don't amplify sound. People suppress sound. So people are all about him. He's trying to teach. How many people can you reach? Well, we don't have this problem. We have amplification. You know, we have speakers. If the people hear us so much, we'll turn the volume up. If you know what I mean? If we're outdoors, you know, I yell. You know, it's just not, we haven't had this, like, you know, it's not a problem. In Jesus' day, it was kind of a problem, you know, just a natural problem. So he takes advantage of a situation that he invented, by the way. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, were washing the nets. Okay, that means it's the end of the shift. You wash the nets. Hope you wash your equipment before you put it away. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Is that helpful? Very. We went to the beach yesterday, my least favorite place in the whole wide world to go. It is. I'm just not enamored by the beach. Well, you can have bare feet, and the sand's too hot, or it's, you know, or it's wet, and you get it all stuck everywhere, and you have to vacuum out your car. Or it's rocky, and I'm not one to ouch, walk along limping on both feet. I don't really care for it. People wear far too less clothes. I'm there dressed pretty much like this. You know, I got a pair of dungarees that Susan's not, and I got the exact same shoes I was wearing at the beach yesterday. Saying you wear shoes at the beach? Yeah, why wouldn't you? It's all rock. It's not a place I want to be at all. So why were you there? I'm married. Happily, large hint, men. I have a granddaughter who loves the beach, who has me wrapped around her finger. If she says, Papa, will you take me to the beach? What do you think my answer is going to be? Okay, I'm just, and so I got Suze and my granddaughter tugging on me. What am I? No, I'm going to mow the lawn, or, you know, the lawn will keep. Little girls don't keep. And you want to keep your wives, guys. You want to bless them. But I wasn't blessed. I just, I hate it. I mean, I just, like, you know, it's not my favorite place. And if it's your favorite place to be, God bless you. I mean, it's beautiful. It's breathtaking. We're out in God's creation. I mean, it's a big puddle there. It's a lot of stuff happening there. I mean, I get that, right? So there are parts of that I like very much. But I was noticing, it was after lunch, we were sitting there, and she's sitting in the water. She's a little sand chair, and she's like in the tide as it's coming in, and that is fun for her. Me, get all wet, and, no, you know, I love to swim, but in the North Atlantic, I'd rather not. You know, it's never warm enough to swim. Lakes are nice, pools are nice, ocean, just not really fond of it. But it was after lunch, like I say, she's sitting to serve, and I'm sitting on one of those, you know, camp chairs, and I can hear people like, man, it must have been like over a half mile away, and they're just talking. I can hear every word they were saying. Why is that? Because that's how the water is. It's like a natural amplification process going on. Did Jesus invent that way back when? You know, when he spoke the world into existence, saying, I'll need that later on, the water, to be able to do that. Or he just took advantage of something he's always planning like way ahead. So I'm just guessing, whatever. He made the water, and he made it that was able to do that. And he got out in the boat, and now he's talking conversationally. There's no microphone, and everyone's hearing, and everyone's blessed at his teaching. What's he teaching? I don't know. Isn't that amazing? Here we're told that he's teaching, and we don't know. Now, he's in Nazareth, his hometown, and he was teaching then, and we did know. He got in a lot of trouble for teaching what he was teaching out of the book of Isaiah. Remember that? Here, we don't know what he's teaching. The Holy Spirit of God that's not important right now. I mean, there's going to be whole chapters devoted to what he was teaching, and we'll get there, and we'll talk about his teaching, incredible teaching. He's an incredible teacher. But here, we don't know, and it doesn't serve the Spirit of God's purpose to let us know what he was teaching. So he left speaking. Now he's done the teaching, whatever it was. In verse 4, he's done. He says, Simon, notice it's Simon. In verse 5, notice in verse 4, it's Simon. Notice in verse 3, it's Simon. Notice in verse 8, it's Simon Peter. So you're going to make a point with that? Yeah, but let's put it on the back burner for now. But here he's Simon, okay? Shimon, as you would say. This is a prime minister in Israel with this name, Shimon Peres. Shimon means hearing. Was Peter a hearing guy? I think he was too much a hearing guy. He was listening to a lot of people, and I think he wasn't always listening to the Lord. I think he was impressionable. He was hearing to the point where it was not always a blessing and not always a good thing. Later on, he's Peter. What's that? Rock. Rocky. Who gave him that name? We'll see. We'll see. So he's left speaking. He says, Simon, launch out in the deep and let down the nets for a draft. Okay, you're gonna catch a lot of fish. Let down the nets for a draft. Now look. What's Simon's first reaction? I think it's very, very instructive, because it's very, very often our first reaction. Master, I'll tell you this. We've been working all night long. We've cleaned the nets. We're putting them away. It's time to go beddy-bye. Master. And by the way, this means boss man. You say, not really. Yeah. This isn't a claim to Jesus' deity. He's just saying, you're in charge. You're the boss. I get that. But you want to think about something. You're from what? Capernaum, up on a hill. Weren't they going to throw you off that hill? I'm from here. This is my hometown. Did you see my house that you hail my mother-in-law at? I live here, right on the sea. I've been fishing my whole life. My dad was a fisherman. My grandfather was a fisherman. You don't catch fish in the daytime. They see the net. You've been teaching. You've been making noise. They're going to fish within a mile from here. You scared them all away. You're not going to catch them here. You're not going to catch them now. You're a carpenter guy, right? Listen, when we build a house, I'll come and ask you about your expertise. I know fishing. Who knows fishing more, Jesus or Peter? Now, if you think Peter, raise your hand. Okay, let the record show nobody thinks Peter knows more about fishing than Jesus. If you think Jesus knows more about fishing, raise your hand. Now, you say that. Oh, I saw all the hands. You say that. But is that true about your life? Is it true about my life? Or are we excuse guy? Does he know more about giving than we know? Hey, listen. I haven't got any money. I haven't got enough money to give. I can't. I'd love to. When I get a raise, when I get more money coming in, I'll be happy to. Jesus says, I know more about giving than you. Let me tell you how it works. And he blesses us with a story about a woman who, she got two nickels to rub together, literally, and she gives, and Jesus is all excited. That's incredible. She's got faith. I'm going to bless her. Don't you worry about that. She gave all she had. Will she have more? I'll see to it. Jesus, God, would tell us. Does he know more about your marriage than you know about? No. Listen, he does not. He doesn't know Sue's like I know Sue's. He tells me that I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church. He doesn't know Sue's at all. Because if I let that barrier down and I start serving Sue's, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to walk in the door at the end of a hard day. I'm going to put my apron on. I'll be dusting with a feather duster, and I'll be getting her tea and rubbing lotions on her feet and just, you know, and she's going to be ordering me around like a slave because, you know what? I really know about my own wife more than Jesus knows about my own wife. Everyone agree with me? Raise your hand. No hands? Incredible. You mean you think Jesus knows more about my wife and my relationship and my marriage than I do? You think so? Raise your hand. Now just, this is interactive. You get to raise your hand, it's good. It's like, you know, a little calisthenics or whatever. So you're telling me he knows more about my marriage than I know about my marriage. Oh, you'd be correct, by the way. Does he know more about your marriage than? Because he's the one who says, wives, submit to your husband. And you're saying, oh, no. You don't know who I'm married to? Because I hear it. You tell me. And I'm thinking like, well, you just told me he knows more about my marriage. You gotta look in the mirror here. I mean, you're good at giving others advice. Are you that good at looking at your own situation, saying, no, Jesus knows better. We'll do it his way. Look. I'm going to tell you about Peter. He's great. I love Peter. He's one of my favorite Bible guys for reasons like this. We have toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Okay, he's not anxious. He's not excited. But at the end, does he do it? Yes. Nevertheless, this is key. Okay, you haven't been paying attention. Pay attention to this. Nevertheless, at thy word. This has to be our motto. We're plowboys. Nevertheless. Never less than your word. You got a verse? Let's do it. You have a verse? You're on your own. Never less than your word. Hey, I don't think this is going to work, Jesus. I'm going to do it. You know why? Because I know who you are, and you said so. I'm going to do it. What else? I don't care about your attitude. I don't care about your zealousness. I care about your obedience, God would say. Look, he doesn't think this is a good idea, but he does it. What's that called? It's called faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And by the way, let me tell you something else, go one step further. God said it, that settles it, whether you and I believe it or not. But you want to get the blessing, you want to bless God, you want to be faithful, then we do the thing that God told us to do. Listen, all the problem in my life, all the problem in my marriage, all the problem on my job, all the problems in my life, that I can control. I mean, sometimes there's a problem. We got a big bloated government that lives beyond our means. This is news to Pete. Look. You get that. That's a problem, right? But it's not my problem. I didn't make that problem. The problems that I got, the problems that I made, you know what they all are each and every time? I don't know God's word, or I haven't done God's word. Always. Only 100% of the time. Say, you don't know God's word. You're the guy teaching us. You're going to know something. Hey, I don't know God's word in a situation. I don't know what I'm in a pickle. I'm in a situation. I don't know which verse. I don't know how to apply the word of God to this situation. Is that a problem? Yeah, always. And then when I find the verse, the principle, the teaching, and when God speaks to me and says, this is what I want you to do, now I have a problem with obedience. And do you have problems with obedience, Adam? Yeah, sometimes I do. I'm wrestling with the same things you're wrestling with. I know God said it, but And I'm like you, I'm very smart, I know everything. And God, in this case, he's very smart, he's God, and I'll give him that. But in this case, if he just looks at it from my particular situation and sees it through my eyes, he'll probably give me the exception. I'm going to be the exception to the rule in this situation. Am I right? Oh, no, never. Never. You think I would learn? Do I? Well, eventually I get there. Bang, bruise, last place, finally get there. But that's my life. You know, how was I going to say do something? I just say yes immediately and then do it to the best of my ability. It's probably happened, but I can't think of a situation or example right off the top of my brain. I'm like this. All right. And we do it. Nevertheless, okay, you're the master, you're the boss, I get that. I don't agree with any of this. Look, that was the way it was with giving, the first time. I'm like you, right? I brought up on the Catholic side, and Catholics didn't talk about tithe or do tithe. Where I was growing up, we tipped. You bring a buck and throw it in the offering, woo-hoo, red hot. You know, just like, I'm killing it. This is good. I give a whole buck, you know, this week and stuff. And because your mother give you that buck to bring to the church to throw in the offering, it's like whatever, you know. I guess I could have stole it, but I would never do that. I mean, that was like way up. I wouldn't do that. But then I got saved, right? And someone's teaching on the tithe. We tithe here. Do whatever you want here. I think it's kind of a minimalistic kind of That's way, way, way back in the rearview mirror. We don't like wrestle every week. Yeah, I'm never going to pay a tithe. You know, it's like that's so basic and nothing. But it wasn't always. You remember the first time you heard that? I remember the first time I heard that. You want 10% of my what? That ain't never going to work. No how, no way, never. The numbers don't work. They don't work now. So what happens? Nevertheless, oy vey, you think so? You think it's a good idea? I'm going to show you it's a bad idea. And we never went without, have we? And God's been faithful, and God's increased our opportunities, increased our salary. He's enlarged our border. He's blessed. Does he know how to bless? Yeah, only always. No, you understand. I'm retired. I'm locked in this income. He can't bless my situation. How many think that's a valid criticism? No one again. I can't get anyone to bite on the wrong stuff today. You're paying attention, that's good. Nevertheless, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in the net break. We saw that coming, didn't we? Well, we know the story. Peter never saw it coming. Okay, you're the religious guy, you're the carpenter guy, you can even drive the demons out of people guy, you're the healing mother-in-law's guy, I think you're good at healing, I think you're good at teaching, I think you're good at spiritual things. I want to tell you something, Jesus, I'm the fisherman. You know, I think when Jesus comes and rocks our world and shows us, you don't know nothing, I know everything, and I can bless. When he meets us in our house on our terms and outdoes us, that's a very, very good place to be. When he shows up and when he shows us, he'll teach us in the book of John, apart from me, you can do nothing. When he demonstrates it, it's an awesome thing. You say, it's not awesome. It's I'm humiliated and he's right and I'm wrong. He doesn't want to rub your nose in it. He wants to bless you. He wants you to understand, apart from him, you can do nothing. When you get to that place, it's a blessing. It's a great place. It's a wonderful place. Now I'm just right at the end of myself all the time. I'm in over my skis. I don't know what I'm doing. I never know what I'm doing. God bless me. He's like, absolutely. Here I am. Let Daddy help. I'll say it this way. No, Lord. I can handle this one. I've done this one before. I'm all set. Thanks for your help, but I don't need it. And I'm ready for disaster. Then it starts moving sideways in a hurry, and even the things I think I can do very well, I can't do at all. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Is he right? Of course he's right. He's always right. He's God. So they get this great Multitude of fish. They beckon to their partners. What's that? Hand signs? I don't know. Maybe it's just, hey, come on over. Maybe they have this really, you know, slick little, you know, you got to do this and you got to go over here and you got to pick up the net. I don't know. They motion. The playing charades out on the water, right? Who's their partners? Well, from verse 10, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, to be sure. This is a lucrative business. They know how to catch fish. They even got like boats. They got partners. They got it's Andrew and Peter. It's James and John here. There are more besides. Who knows? So come on over and help us. They fill both the ships so they begin to sink. Does Jesus know how to bless or what? He can bless you beyond your capacity to take in all the blessing. I mean, he feeds the multitude with loaves and fishes, right? Just a few fishes, a few loaves, right? Did anyone out-eat his blessing? Like, I've had all the, you know, McFishwitches that I want, and, but I'm still, I want more. Come on, let's keep bringing it. And Jesus is like, I'm out. I can't manufacture no more. I'm out. No. Everyone had their fill. And by the word means glutted, you know. When you go to that all-you-can-eat buffet, you know, the Chinese one where they get all that and you just sit there and you eat and eat and you go back for seconds and thirds and now you're looking for dessert. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. And you're glutted. I can't eat another bite. And your wife rolls you out to the car and props you up in front of the steering wheel and you try to drive without, you know, you can't even see. You're so filled. They were glutted. They never known glutted. This isn't a culture that eats to their fill. They don't have buffets in ancient Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And they all ate till they were satisfied. And there's more besides that was collected. And remember, there's 12 baskets full. Jesus, what point are you making here? It's very, very, very simple. It's very obvious. Jesus can bless beyond our capacity to receive it. The nets are breaking. The boats are sinking. I got no more place with all these fish. Okay, turn off the spigot, Jesus. Enough, enough, enough. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he awesome good? No, we're locked in a situation. You don't understand. I can't receive. I can't. You don't know anything. You don't know my power. It's limitless. You don't know my ingenuity. You don't know how I can maneuver things around. And we hear testimony after testimony after testimony of his faithfulness and his goodness. He loves us and he wants to bless us. Now, this is very, very interesting to me. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now, let's talk about Simon Peter here in a second, but he falls at Jesus' knees. Jesus is either sitting or standing in the boat, but you can picture Peter just prostrating himself in front of Jesus, grabbing hold of his knees. Well, if he's in front of his knees, and probably holding on, I think, depart from me. What's that all about? Isn't that kind of like the opposite of what he wanted? So I was praying about this, and I was thinking, why? And I didn't pray long, and the answer came right to me, because I totally get this. What was the last thing Peter wanted? The last thing Peter wanted is Jesus to depart from him. Okay? Theology by voting. You think that's correct? Just nod, right? The last thing he wanted. So why'd he say it? Jesus, depart from me? Same reason you do, same reason I do, same reason you did, same reason I did. I think this is salvation. He finally sees Jesus for who he is. This is awesome. This is so incredible. When Simon Peter saw it, what did he see? Jesus in all his glory. He didn't see it. When he cast out the demon in the synagogue, he didn't see it. Can you imagine that? Jesus like, you out, psh. Demon goes out, cuts the man, splits the man, rends the man, but nothing happens. He's out, and Jesus is like master over demons. I'm like, wow, who is this guy? He didn't see it then. Isn't that incredible? So he brings him home for dinner. He heals his mother-in-law. He doesn't see it. Isn't that incredible? This is not the first time Jesus and Peter had encountered each other. He had told them before, drop your nets, forget all that stuff, come and follow me. I think this is the third, but you have to look and search a lot of scriptures to find that out. This isn't their first encounter. What happens? You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know, I get this business, and I got this. You know, it's kind of exciting to me and kind of interesting and all at once. People have an average of 7 times hearing the gospel before they accept it. I got saved the first time, but that's not bragging. I mean, it's really, really not. If you knew my heart, if my heart was transparent, boy, yeah, that's not bragging. That's bragging in God, who is like, I ain't got 7 to deal with you. You're gonna get saved right now, right here. I heard the gospel and I got saved. I thought like, yeah, who's not gonna? This is great. Jesus died for my sins. He'll give me His righteousness. He'll take my sins and pay for them. Yeah, okay. I'll sign up, pray, what? Sign a card, whatever you need. I'm ready, right here, right now. It doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes it does. Why? Because He's awesome. Most of us, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 7 times is the average. And there's some people, you know, have heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it, heard it and heard it and heard it, and has rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. And finally, that switch flips. You've seen it. You've been witnessing to people. You've been talking. You've been praying. You've been sharing. And no, 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 no. And all of a sudden, they see the light. All of a sudden, that they go from darkness to light. How does that work? I don't know. The Holy Spirit of God does that. What you do, be faithful and pray and trust God. And just because somebody says no, or they can even dramatically say no, listen, it ain't over till it's over. It ain't over until they are dead and gone and buried. And even then, in their death, we don't know what happened, okay? We don't know. I mean, and it's good not knowing, by the way. I've got family, and I think about with, and I'm happy that I don't know. Can I just leave it at that? So keep being faithful, keep sharing the gospel, keep telling people about Jesus, and maybe that it will happen. It wasn't the first time with, but it, something clicked over. I think this is salvation. Why? Because he says to Jesus, he understands who Jesus is. Now he says master, and it means kurios. It's the Greek, it's the Lord. Lord God, depart from me. Why? Because when you see Jesus for who he is, you see yourself for who you are, and you say, this isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't, I don't know if I can say this right. Okay. Listen to this part here. Still today, it takes all the faith that I can muster to believe that Jesus loves me. Say, not really. You tell us that all the time. For you, it's easy. For me, it's not so easy. Say, why? He shouldn't. Listen. It takes all the faith I can muster to believe that Jesus loves me. He's holy, he's pure, he's good, he's undefiled. I'm none of those things. And I've never seen love like this. Unilaterally given. God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've never seen this. You know, my wife loves me. You know why? Well, I love her. I treat her good. I mean, I like to think so, and she loves me. Now, if I start treating her like the rat that I really am, like all selfish and all, watch how fast my good marriage comes off the tracks. Same with my friendships. Well, I have a lot of friends. They love me, right? Well, I love them. I treat them good. I talk with them. I hang out with them. We do things together. I'm not a jerk, usually. I'm a good actor. They don't see who I really am all the time. I always think, like, if you guys knew who was talking to you, this place would be like just me and cricket chirping or something, I think. It takes all the faith that I can muster to believe that Jesus loves me. And I just see this in people. It's like, depart from me. You shouldn't be here. You're good. I'm not good. You're holy. I'm unholy. Now, I think this is salvation. I think this is salvation. I think Peter's finally saved. Why? Because that happened to me. Didn't it happen to you when you got saved? Depart from me, Lord. You don't know who you're dealing with. I'm wicked, and I'm ugly, and I'm sinful. I talk to some people. I'm a good person. You know what? One thing I know, that person's not saved. I can write it down. They are not. I'm a good person. Yeah, no, me and the man upstairs, we get an understanding. We're cool. I'm okay. I never kill anybody. I commit adultery. It's the only two sins, right? Murder and adultery. And I ain't done them, so I'm good, right? And here we are. We pat ourselves back. What a good boy am I? And on we go. And that's not salvation. Here, Peter comes to the place, Lord, depart from me. The one thing he surely didn't want, for Jesus to depart from him, but he understands that's how it should be. And he says, I'm a sinful man. I'm a wicked man. And here's the Savior. Yeah, you're right. Get out of here. You stink. No, he loves us in our sinfulness. He's awesome, good. Fear not. Stop fearing, literally. From henceforth, you're going to catch men. No, I get it. You're sinful. That's why I showed up. I'm the Redeemer. I'm here to redeem. I got a job for you. You're going to catch men. I ain't going anywhere, by the way, he's saying. In fact, right? No. We're gonna team up. We got some stuff we got to take care of. Oh, I know you're a sinner. Don't worry about it. I'm the Savior. I'm gonna take care of the sin problem. Don't you worry about it. I got work for you to do. We're going to catch some men. Now, he could have said, we're going to teach men. Is teaching men a good thing? Yeah. We're going to cast out demons. Is casting out demons a good thing? Yes. Talk to the demon-possessed person. They're going to say, yeah, it's a very good thing. He could have said, we're going to heal lepers. Yep. There's going to be healing ministry. Yep. What's he saying? We're going to catch men. The focal point of everything we do is catching men. We have MOPS ministry. What are we doing? Catching men. Okay, we're catching mothers of preschoolers, MOPS, but men generically, mankind. That's what we're doing. That's why we have MOPS. Well, we have Sunday school. What do we have Sunday school for? We're catching men. Okay, they're little men. And menlets and women style. They're little people, but we're catching them. That's why we have little people's ministry. We have whatever ministry we're going to do, whatever we're going to go for, whatever we're going to. The bottom line is we're trying to catch men alive. We don't catch them like we catch fish. You know, Peter knows about catching fish. They end up fillets. They end up in the market. They're for sale. People consume them. Our catching men is quite different. We're not catching men for our own benefit, what we can get. We're catching them for their benefit. And Jesus knows that. And Jesus says, okay, job one, this is the thing. Okay, no, there's a lot of peripheral stuff. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of good stuff we get involved in. Job one, let's keep this real simple, Jesus saying, here's your marching orders. Catching men. That's obvious. That's awesome, too. I got to tell you something. I don't always think in those terms. You're saying, you don't? Really? I mean, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be thinking in terms of that. No, I don't always. I'm teaching a passage, and I'm not always thinking of it in an evangelical way. My skill set, shouldn't put it that way, my supernatural gifting by the Holy Spirit is not primarily evangelism. It's not. You don't like that, take it up with him. He's the one who gives and gives people their gifts. I think what I do is teach. I want to teach you how to be an evangelist. No, he says, Paul says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So we're all, whether that's our primary ability, our primary gift, I don't know, but it's got to be our primary focus. It's the heartbeat of everything that goes on here. Has to be. We can teach people, and we can teach them real well, but at the end of the day, if they go to hell, we got to put a fail next to that. We didn't do what we were supposed to do, right? In so much as it's humanly possible. We want to catch men. That's the big deal. That's what he says to what he says to Peter here. From henceforth, you're going to catch men. When they brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What can we make of this? There's a lot of things standing away from us catching men. Everything's going to stand in the way unless we forsake all. You got to get on board with what God's doing. First, get saved. Two, Lord, what's your heart? What is your desire? What do you want to do? Well, that's what I want to do. That's my heart. That's my desire too. Do you guys have your own agenda, your own desires? You gotta watch that. They creep in. I got a plan to do God's plan. Some of those plans you have counter to God, they're good plans. I bet there's a lot of people here who want to be a pastor. I am not standing in your way. I'm not holding you down, not holding you back. We will aid and abet. I reserve the right, though, to say, you're really not qualified yet. And I'm not saying you got to wait 20, 30, 40 years. I'm not that guy. Get hold of Jesus in a hurry. Get really on board with what he's doing. And if he's called you to preach somewhere, how can we help? You think I learned from the best, Ken Graves. In this. I think he's the best teacher in Maine, but he's the best in this. He could have a mega church that would rival many if he was an empire builder. But he's not. He's not an ego thing. Okay, you know something? You're capable of teaching? That's your gift? Get out there. We got plenty of places, plenty of opportunities. This whole town's here in Maine that they don't teach the Word of God. You give them the Word of God, verse by verse by verse. Isn't that not Ken Graves? Is that not him talking? So he sent us here, and we went, and we took people with us, and he knows that. Well, there's gonna be less giving. There's going to be less people in the seats. He don't care about none of that stuff. I don't care about none of that stuff. Here to help. Is that your thing? Now, some of you have an agenda, but it's not like with God's agenda. It's like this. You just have like wanderlust, and you think it's God's call in your life, and you've kind of like, what do you mean? Everyone want a new start? We call it being born again. It's wonderful. Do you like? I'm not happy with what's going on. I haven't done it exactly right. I want to like start clean. You need to be saved. Two, then you need the grace of God every morning, but you don't need this. You don't need a whole abrupt change with the scenery. If God's calling you a new job in a new state, you should heed God's call. But sometimes we do this. Listen, I'm married 37 years. I need a change of scenery. I need a new woman in my life, right? Besides, she knows what a jerk I am. I mean, she really does, by the way. So I got to get a new one who doesn't know what a jerk I am, right? That's a bad idea. Bad plan, Adam. Everyone go, Adam, bad plan. That's a bad plan. When I get a new one, and that's exciting, it's new, guys do this. Listen, women do this. Guys do this. Oh, it's new for a week or two, and then you find out you've married another sinner, and you've taken all your dreck, all your baggage, all who you are into that new situation. You haven't improved anything. A lot of times we need a new start. We need a new, well, that's called forgiveness. That's called... Lord, work on this thing in my life. So, you know, there's this familiarity breeds contempt thing. People do it here, okay? After a while, this happens. It just happens. After a while, it's like Adam sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, I remember the old Peanuts, you know, wah, 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 when all the adults talk, right? And so you think, like, after a while, it's like, hey, he said all the time. And I can see this happening, too, and it's kind of funny to me to watch it. I say something, right? And you're just kind of like, whatever he's on about now. And you're like, we get out of here in a while. And then somebody says the exact same thing to you, and it's like the Word of God. It's like, oh, Rhema. Oh, God's speaking to my heart. And I'm thinking, what am I, chopped liver? Yes, because you're so used to hearing it from me. And when somebody else says it, it's like new and exciting. And I totally, totally get that. So I need to go to a different church and hear a different pastor. That's your desire, that's your determination. God bless you. Have a good time. You say, not really. What can I do? Tie you to the pew or something? I mean, people do that all the time. They want to go. They want to start fresh. You know what the thing is? Because this situation here and this relationship here and this one over here and I'm ducking this one over here because they weren't kind to me that time and I said this and I shouldn't have and now I got to... But you take who you are to that new family. They're going to see you, you know, for a week or two. It's very exciting. And then... You're right back to the, you know, past droning on, and I heard this before, and when am I out of here? And the people that you meet and the people you talk to, it's still you. They're going to get to the bottom of who you are unless you have, now you can stay here, and we're used to you, and we like you a lot, we're very fond of you, and you can change with us and grow with us. That's just kind of an idea. But do what God tells you to do. I'm not against that. God's calling you into ministry. I'm not against that. God's calling you to go somewhere and do ministry and plant a church. I'm not against any of that stuff. Here to help. Well, how can we help? Can we pray? Can we give you money? Can we give you encouragement? Can we train you? Hopefully training is starting right now. Always the bottom line. This has to be our motto. I'm going to make one more point. We're a little early today and that's going to be okay. Right? Unthinkable. It's thinkable. Look, one point, nevertheless, at thy word, never less than Jesus' word. That's who we are. We're plowboys. We get in the Word, we plow, we keep our feet moving, keep going straight ahead, and that's it. That's who we are. Jesus said it, I'm doing it. Anyone get in my way, they're getting run over. That's who I am, because I'm obedient to Jesus Christ. Figure that out first or last. You're gonna help yourself. It's gonna be so immense when you get on board with, like, don't have an agenda. Jesus is my agenda. I don't have goals. Jesus is my goals. You know, like, my whole goal is to fill the church to overflowing, and we need two services, we need three on a Sunday morning, we need at least two services on Sunday night, we've got to have a midweek service, we've got to be doing prayer, we've got to be... None of that. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. A lot of churches are really consumed with noses and nickels. How many people are here? How much is the offering? I don't care about none of that stuff. Jesus says, I'll build my church, and I said, amen. I don't have to turn myself inside out and learn how to juggle and tell jokes and do a little dance up here. If I get people coming that way, then I have to keep doing that stuff to keep them. Hey, listen, here's the promise. Word by word, we're going to go through the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you what it says. You like that plan, you're going to like it here. You don't like that plan, you're not going to like it here, and this... That's all I can tell you. Let's stand, let's pray. And Lord, here's our response to this. I want to speak on behalf of everybody. I don't know what's going on in people's hearts right now, but here's my response. Nevertheless, never less than your word. Lord, we love it. We just want it. We want it to consume us, to own us, to thrill us, we just want to be driven by your word. It has the power to change us. We've all seen that. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, we thank you for our brother Josh, who's going to come and send us out of here in song now. But we pray for Matt that his healing would be very quick, Lord. Be glorified in just healing him and bringing him back to us. In Jesus' name, amen.